Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Man, we got a lot to talk about this morning, including Laura and Marco. They are they're heading this way, both of them, although Laura has taken over. Marco kind of now just sitting and watching in the corner as Laura does all kinds of stuff to Cuba and everywhere else.
So can we call Marco Jerry Falwell Jr.?
Oh, that's not. What? John doesn't know.
Well, I don't know that story.
I didn't hear this story.
Oh, boy. Jerry Falwell Jr.
He went bye-bye.
Well, he said he went bye-bye. Then apparently he didn't quit. I don't know. But Jerry Falwell Jr., the son of the famed televangelist Jerry Falwell, was a big head muckety-muck over at Liberty. Apparently he was in a relatively long... Ooh, how do I put this?
Open relationship.
Although he was more the watcher.
Boy. No, the wife was. Was it really a pool boy?
I don't think he was exclusively a pool boy.
It's the cabana boy?
My wife told me he's pool boy. I'm like, what? This is the most cliched thing I've ever heard of.
But let's just say
he wasn't a pizza delivery guy?
And Falwell Jr. just sat in the corner?
Sat in the corner and watched.
Wow.
That's out there.
Wow. And well, so then maybe it should have been.
I just want
maybe
to resign.
Maybe it should have been called Junior.
Then he said, wait a minute. This is my deal. I ain't resigning. If this is my deal, you guys.
Yeah, why is that unacceptable behavior at Liberty? Is it in the mission statement you can't watch?
Well, they're a Christian institution, so.
Yeah, and?
I think it's if you engage in something outside of marriage, it causes
a
problem.
It's the whole.
Yeah, you know, the Bible, man.
Pool boy
woman,
to start with was probably a problem.
He's considered a business partner. I don't know about pool boy.
Oh, okay. Well, you mean he went in on the pool with him, or what? He bought half his pool?
I don't know, but they're titling this man, a younger man, by the way, a business partner.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Why? Because he's all in that business?
He looks like a young Elon Musk.
He does? Oh. And is that a good thing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
According to Jerry Falwell Jr.'s wife, it is.
Maybe. She liked it. She likes that Elon, she likes Musk, Elon look. Musk.
Well, I mean.
His name is Giancarlo Granda.
Well, you see. How you gonna, how you gonna stay away
from who wrote this? Who wrote this storyline? A pool boy named Giancarlo.
He's not a pool boy.
Who wrote this storyline?
Oh, my goodness. How'd that start, too, by the way? How do you start that? Mrs. Hey, Falwell, would you...
I just want to let you know that you are a little bit low on a chlorine, Mrs. Falwell, but you're a little bit high on pheromones. I can smell your love from
here. This is not where I thought the show was
going
to start.
It really shouldn't. James Harden's like, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
You know, it's hard. I mean, listen, they could use Russ, right? And the excuse is the excuse. Would they be up 3-1, or would they have won the series already with Russ? Quite possibly.
Maybe, but would they have won the series already without Russ? Yeah, quite possibly.
You know what they need Russ for? They need Russ when they're on a 3-for-20 binge. That they need Russ to just go to the basket.
I will not give them any. I'm just telling you right now. There will never, no matter what happens, whether they win the series or lose this series, I will not give them one single ounce of comfort for not having Russ. Because this team has had easy leads on Oklahoma City in all four games. There really is no excuse about the Russ team. Mm-hmm. They're the better team than Oklahoma City. They should have beaten Oklahoma City in all four games. I really don't want to hear it. I mean, They missed a zillion shots in the fourth quarter from three. They keep taking
Well, that's bad why you shots. Need Russ, is because now you got somebody that can drive to the hole and will actually stop that
yeah,
run.
That
it's
team's
the
not
same
even that good.
Thing as when they were in game seven against the
no,
Warriors.
It's not the same thing. That's
27.
The Warriors, though. Yeah. But that's the Warriors.
Well, what's the difference? You missed
really
shots, you missed shots.
Paul.
They had open looks against the
Warriors,
too. The
difference is Oklahoma City's a scrubbed out team. This is not even a good team. Chris Paul, he did get revenge. This is a team. I mean, this isn't the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors. You really needed Chris Paul. In this one, you could be beating Oklahoma City without Russ. That's not a good team I'm watching. Honestly, this is not good basketball. This is really, you have stretches of Rockets making threes. They shot 58. Yay, they won another record. They set another record for most three-point shots attempted yesterday. 58. Fantastic. They shot 33 twos. The problem was when they needed a mid-range, and it was
House took a mid-range.
Who's the color commentator? It wasn't Jim Jackson, is it?
I don't know who was on the.
It's Jim Jackson. If you
is it
Jim? Yeah.
Jim Jackson said multiple times, you know, when you're missing like this, one of the good things, I understand that analytics says the two-pointer is an inefficient shot, but he said it's nice to be able to get that mid-range shot when you're missing like this. And I think one of the things that a big thing that I thought happened was James got too drive and dish happy instead of attacking the rim and
oh my
finishing.
God, he passed up a layup and threw it in the corner
yeah.
to PJ
when
instead
that happens,
of just going to the hole.
When that happens, you can see something has happened with his confidence because you can. There's a big stark difference between James to the hoop and James looking
well,
to pass.
James was that behind the back pass. Good, it's like he does it every time, and it's just like James. You don't have to, and then it gets stolen, and then it's like because it's wild or something. But he was dishing. He was doing a great job of facilitating. Listen, I can't be. He's ball hog, and he sits there and the dribble stuff. I can't be mad at him when he's driving to the hole and he's dishing to somebody that's open, and either they hit or miss. But because everybody, listen, one of the problems is when you need me from the corner, PJ. When PJ's in the corner, but he's taking only three shots all game. Well, PJ got plenty of opportunities, and PJ just flat out missed. But the problem with the Rockets is they're not a good three-point shooting team. So eventually it's going to catch up to them. When they were red hot early on, that's great and that's unbelievable. And you know what? They built a 15-point lead. But you know that they're but the cream always rises to the you always hit that line where you're supposed to be. And guess what? They hit that line where they were supposed to be. Actually, they were ahead of it. They still shot almost 40% from 3 and they lost the game. They shot 45% for the game. It's not like the Oklahoma City was so much better. Actually, they were worse. Oklahoma City had 16 assists and 14 turnovers. That's terrible. They had 46 rebounds, but the Rockets had 40. They only lost the. How did they lose this game? They shot well. They didn't turn the ball over at an incredible rate. They rebounded. They had a 15-point lead. How in the hell did you lose this game? It's amazing because they should have won this game by 10. When they shoot 40% from three, when you shoot 53 threes, you should win the game. That's what the math says.
It really should. It shouldn't even, and you didn't get obliterated on the boards. I mean, you lost by 6.
Yeah,
46-40. None of these numbers make sense for a loss.
They got outscored by 13 from the free throw line, which is something they
which
normally
is something
have
that almost
an
never happens.
In.
And why?
Yeah. Right.
Because James did not get there at the pace that he usually does. And I tell you what, that was a really frustrating game yesterday because when they started missing, you know, the thing that I really want to see with James Harden is, and I want to see this with any superstar, when the going gets really tough, you have a guy who says, just, all right, get on my back and I'm going to carry us for this four-minute stretch. And I just... There was a time that it was so clear yesterday that had to happen. When everyone's bricking jumpers and you're hoping Daniel House hits something and then all of a sudden Covington will launch something and then, you know, Eric Gordon will launch something and you just feel like, man, please go in. Please go in so the tide can turn and it's not turning. And what was ironic was that, you know, you had Oklahoma City getting back into it with two-pointers. Oklahoma City got back in with two-pointers. I understand the three-point shot and the efficiency of having 1.5 possessions. You know, you can score 1.5 1.5 baskets to their one basket, basically, if you three to two, if you consider two the norm. And the real problem was when they really needed baskets, a point, James couldn't or wouldn't just get all the way to the rim. It was like he was pulling up, and they did a good job of trying to defend him. But I didn't get the feeling that, you know, I felt like there was a bunch of settling for deep jumpers. Dribble, 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 deep jumper. And it's just when it's going in, you're like, yeah, they were 8 for 8 to start the second half from three. That was insane. And then they did nothing after that. They couldn't buy a three-pointer. So
what'd they end up, 3 for 20, their last 25? 3 for 20?
No, 5 for something, because they hit Daniel House.
Oh, yeah, James hit one, too, that they missed when they came back from break.
James got one right off the, in the last, like, 15 seconds. James hit a three, and then Daniel House hit one from 80 feet.
Yeah.
The last shot of the game, he just flung it up full court, and it went in. So that technically counted. But it was just a really, when they really needed it, the shooters couldn't shoot, and James couldn't take over the game. And it was just a super frustrating thing to watch. And Chris Paul, that was a revenge game for Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul was directly responsible for the Oklahoma City Thunder getting back on the right side of the plus-minus in that game and then helping to close out the game. He had some big shots, and that was a big revenge game for him. And now you're sitting here 2-2, and I think you're definitely the better team. But you are starting to fade from a consistency standpoint, and it's a big concern.
They're the better team as long as Billy Donovan wants to continue to put Steven Adams on the floor. The Rockets miss threes quite a bit, but you can just see what they turn into, the Oklahoma City Thunder, when they take Adams off the floor. And you saw,
yeah,
they're up. I think the Rockets were up 90-77, and Steven Adams came off the floor because of rest or foul.
And Nerlens Noel played well.
Yeah, I've railed on it during group texts and on the show. If Billy Donovan wants to continue to play Steven Adams, the Rockets are going to win those minutes because they've won those minutes throughout this series. So I would hope and pray he doesn't finally figure it out. And he kind of figured it out yesterday that Steven Adams barely played in that game except to give someone else some rest from midway through the third quarter on. And you saw the Thunder make a run, which coincided with the Rockets missing threes. Look, I don't want to make it a referendum on James every time, but is he ever not going to turn the ball over late with a dumb pass in a playoff game?
I know. I feel the same way. I don't want to always bring it back to James because you wouldn't be where you were if James Harden wasn't James Harden. But there's almost a separate compartment that I have to put championship players. And at some point, you have to learn from your mistakes and not do the same stuff. He had two horrible turnovers.
Oh, my God. Throwing the ball to Gallinari at midcourt was
terrible. That was a killer.
That was terrible. But you're right. James is not to blame for that. James carried you all the way there. He's carried you for 5 years now. Into the playoffs and into contention.
He's just not
he's not a closer.
He's not a closer at the biggest moments. No. I mean, you can point to some things here and there, but when it turns into a back-and-forth street fight where you land a blow, I land a blow, which is what yesterday turned into, James didn't rise to the occasion. And that's you know, that's a problem. I mean, it doesn't make him any less a great offensive player or a superstar, but at some point, you got to feel like you have no doubt Kawhi will rise to the occasion. Luka's starting to become that guy who will rise to the occasion. Steph Curry, for years, will rise to the occasion. LeBron rises to the occasion. James has to be a guy that we put in that for all his stats. At some point, we have to say, in a fist fight where it's heavyweight blows back and forth and it's nerve-wracking with change of, you know, with lead changes, James has to be the guy at some point that makes the critical plays when you need them on a consistent basis. And one of them is not being lazy with the basketball. And, you know, the back cut, he thought, I can't kill him about the back cut on the baseline where Eric Gordon, they made eye contact and Eric Gordon didn't take that back cut. I don't really put that all on James. That's a mistake inside the offense. The other one was just dumb. And it's at the end of the game where possessions are magnified. Mm-hmm. You can't have those turnovers inside of 2 minutes. You just cannot. The possessions have shrunk so much that you cannot give away a possession. And, of course, that possession that he turned over turned into points, right? Isn't that when Schroeder got the layup?
Yeah, it was they had just gotten a stop after giving up an offensive rebound. I think the Thunder missed another three or something. They got the ball, and he got a rebound, looked ahead, and just threw it and Gallinari just picked it off. And I think it certainly results in the bucket. I forgot who scored it. And it gave the Thunder a 3-point lead and just changed the kind of the complexion of the entire rest late game situation.
So that's it just happens too much. It just happens too much. But again, you can't put this all on James. Yeah,
somebody else
has got to hit a 3-2. At one point they were 3-for-23. So that's 20. James didn't miss all of those.
PJ Tucker guys had an easy look.
Here's the thing about them though. They're not a good three-point shooting team. They rely on a three so much, but they're not their stats show. They're just not
an average team.
An average 3-point shooting team. Yet the most important thing in their lives is the 3-point shooter. Well, if that's the case, then get great 3-point shooters. That's what you got to have. And they just don't have those.
I saw a tweet, and I wish I could find it, but it was something along the lines of most 3 points missed in a playoff game, and the Rockets have like 4 of the top 5.
Okay.
Yeah, it would make sense. So we watched, actually yesterday, the kids were outside watching they're watching the basketball game, and then later that night they had their dinner out on the patio. And Texas Custom Patios has really altered the way that we go about our business at home. It has been a place where I can go out there and watch my shows. I've gone out there and done my draft work. I hook up my computer to the TV and watch my tape, and it's there's nothing better than in the fall when the weather cools down and you're able to sit out on your own patio and watch TV or listen to music. It's just such a great feeling. Have the grill out there. They do outdoor kitchens. But the really great thing right now is that you can get started right now on an opportunity to have that patio built when the weather is cooler, and you're really going to experience the unbelievable opportunities to take advantage of that outdoor living space. And more people with the pandemic have spent more and more time at home, and they've realized, hey, this is something that we want to do. We want to turn our house into a home. And so make sure that you go with Texas Custom Patios. They're the best in the state, award-winning, tons of awards. Go to the website at texascustompatios.com, see some of their before and afters. But just know this, when it comes time to get your project done, they can do things through Zoom that other people can't, including giving you actual CAD renderings of your home so that you see exactly what your custom patio is going to look like and living space. And you are going to see, and you're going to know exactly how much it's going to cost. They never flip-flop on cost. Whatever the cost is, even if they have to correct any mistakes, if there is anything made. But I tell you this, the job that they do and the work that they do, incredible. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How you like our cleanup hitter now?
He's starting to hit.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, he's starting to hit.
You think he's starting to hit?
He's starting to look like he's not afraid of baseballs.
You think Kyle Tucker might be starting to hit. How about Brantley? What kind of world are we living in where Kyle Tucker's hitting fourth and Brantley's hitting sixth?
No. I don't know.
What the hell?
I don't know, but the Astros had a four-run sixth to kind of push that one.
We're starting to get close again. In York. Yeah. But I like that he stuck with Valdez.
I did, too. And Fromber had good punch-out numbers. And Fromber gave up some runs. He gave up four runs, but he I like that he gave him, you know, he's right now, we've seen this multiple times now. He trusts Fromber.
He does.
He really trusts Fromber.
113 pitches.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm telling you this. AJ would have pulled him in the fourth when he gave up a couple of runs.
100%.
No question. So he gets through that. And he gets through that. And then in the fifth, when he gave up a couple of runs, that would have been easy. I mean, in the fifth, in the middle, he would have never gone five to get the win. No chance. And then he gets punch outs in the sixth and seventh. And you're like, holy crap. Fromber went seven with 113 pitches. Fromber is becoming one of the more reliable, obviously, it's Greinke first, You know, obviously, Christian Javier has done a great job. He's had a couple of games where he's blown up a little bit, you know, and given up runs. But, you know, he's making his first ever starts. That it's awesome what he's doing. You certainly can't blame him. McCullers is the same way. He's pitched really well, but he's had a couple of starts where he's blown up and given up some big innings or big runs, and that's fine. You know what? That's going to happen throughout the course of a season. Belak the same way. Belak was really, really good, and then the last outing he had all that trouble. But Frommer is becoming one of your more reliable guys.
Look, there's two critical numbers for Frommer. Frommer, this is his third year. And as soon as I heard Frommer, what has Frommer done at all until all of a sudden this year? Here's the biggest problem.
Well, no, 2 years ago, Frommer was really
good. Frommer's pretty good 2 years ago. Yeah, he was pretty good 2 years ago. But the problem was, for example, 37 innings pitch, right? 34 strikeouts, 24 walks. That's a big problem. Yeah. I mean, 34 to 24. He gave up three home runs in 37 innings, but only gave up 22 hits. So Frommer was tough to hit. And I remember one game in particular that it was a road game. It was like a game they really, really needed. Might have been the Rangers that he came out and had a really big game. Last year, stunk. 9 home runs and 70 innings pitch. Now, 68 strikeouts, 44 walks. Those are just not, that's just not good. This year, John, he's thrown 38 in the third. He's only given up 2 home runs. And how about this? 40 strikeouts to 9 walks.
Wow.
Look at the difference
huge.
I mean, it's a huge difference. Frommer's throwing strikes, and that's a big difference.
Can't keeping it low.
He's not putting men on base and hurting himself by getting men on base because, you know, last year his innings pitch to hit wasn't great. But this year he's 38 in the third and 33 hits. You know, that's fine. That's what a starting pitcher looks like. But he's keeping the ball in the park, and he's throwing strikes. And that's been a real key for him this year. You look at his whip number, 1.096. Really, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
How about 11 strikeouts last night with 2 walks?
His walks per 9 went from 5.8 and 5.6 to 2.1 this year. And his strikeouts, 8.3, 8.7, 9.4 this year. I mean, it's just been a huge, huge difference for Frommer, and you know it has to go, I would assume, to Brent Strom. I mean, I would have to assume Strom's responsible for
this. Or the dude just worked
Who's he working with? Yeah, unless he's a self-fixer, I don't know.
No. No. Well, I mean, he couldn't fix them last year, but
is Machete making this big a difference too for some of these pitchers?
I would imagine.
Lance McCullers really trusts him now. After being Mr. Shakeoff, He's gotten to where he's trusted him, and he's throwing more fastballs, and he's throwing more fastballs for strikes. Lance just got way too dependent on curveball. You knew curve was coming damn near every pitch, it seemed like. And Maldonado asked him to trust him and said, just let me call the game and just trust me. Don't shake me off so much. And he did it, and he's had success.
And how about Frommer eats up 7 innings?
I mean,
Cy Snead was warming up, and you're like, oh, my God.
Please don't let stuff.
Please don't do that again.
Part of this
team. Let's stop that.
How is he still there?
But CNL comes in, 1 hit, 3 strikeouts. I see, good to see CNL back and pitching. He's pitched pretty well since he got here. So, really well since he got here. But man, oh, man, oh, man, that's good. You got to dominate these lesser teams. You really do. You got to dominate these lesser teams. Otherwise, you're in trouble because you can't beat any good teams. The A's are coming to town this weekend, which is going. What's the matter with that? You want that.
Okay.
They pick up 3 games on the A's this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to pick up 3 games on the A's this weekend. Unfortunately, you're not seeing fires. It's Montas, Luzardo, and Manea. And you don't want to see Manea, but you'd have to. Manea against Frommer, totally sweet. But you got to take care of this business. You got to take care of this business. You got Montas, Luzardo, and Manea. No. Again, are they scared to throw fires against the Astros? What if fires hit somebody? What if fires hit an Astro?
It could be on site. I mean.
What
if he hit Toro?
Texans bull?
No. The guy who always grounds out.
Oh, that Toro.
Yeah,
oh.
The ground out guy with real stubby arms and legs.
Holy crap. After this, you face Oakland one more time, and then the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
This is unbelievable.
60 games.
At Oakland. You had to play 7 games there, and you only get 3.
It really is starting to.
3 games here.
We're 1 game from being halfway through the season. It's really starting to sink in how this season is not for the bullcorn. Like, you better don't be trying to – don't get off to a slow start, Jose Altuve, or you'll be buried for the year. Like, it's – Lance McCullers right now, you know, McCullers has had innings. He's really getting that vibe where when things go a little dicey for him, he just completely falls apart. Mm. And that's a real concern right now. That's a real concern. You know, he's given up 20 earned runs this year. 20 earned runs in 31 and a third.
That's not
great.
But he just blows up, and either he has a great start or a totally crap start.
Yeah, and strikeout numbers are not what they have been in the past. I mean,
honestly,
it's good stuff. But
okay, let's say you go to the what's your rotation right now in the postseason?
Greinke, Fromber, McCullers, Javier. That's mine. It's not Belak. Probably. I mean, it's actually an easy one. There is no other answer.
Well, Belak was awesome until the last start.
Yeah, but you can't. He didn't have the background that he's not going to be. He won't be ahead of Javier.
No.
And he's not going to be ahead of McCullers.
It's probably going to be Greinke, McCullers, and then Fromber.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I guess. But you know what? Fromber's going to get a start. He's absolutely going to get a start.
You know, Greinke has not allowed a home run this year. 35 innings pitch, he hadn't allowed a home run.
And he's humping it up at 88.
But he's hitting spots.
He absolutely does.
I mean, he's really hitting spots right now. Just 6 walks so far for the year. He's hitting the spots. He's got the whip under 1. You know, no Astro. I'm just looking through all their data right now. No Astro with an OPS over 900. That seems crazy. Crush City and, you know, everything about their ability to hit with power, and they don't have anyone. Even Correa, Kyle Tucker, who's gotten a little hot. Or, you know, of course, he was really cold for a while.
Correa would be the only one.
Correa would be the guy you would think, and he's not even the guy who leads the team is not, Bregman. Bregman has the highest OPS on the team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed
Correa is bad, way down, 811. Brantley's ahead of him. Yuli's ahead of him. Tucker's ahead of him.
Correa's OPS.
Actually, you're wrong. Aledmys Diaz has an OPS of 1,000.
Oh, I'm going the real.
Jordan has an OPS of
911 for Correa. Golly.
You would think as many, and yet.
His slugging percentage is low. He's Mr. Single.
Man, Kyle Tucker has more RBIs than Correa. I would have never guessed that. 22-19. That's unbelievable. Yeah. I thought Correa was the guy knocking in all the runs. It's Kyle Tucker.
You gotta stop acting like Correa's Tatis. He's not.
No.
You know, Correa's gonna want 30 million plus per year.
And there's no chance. There's zero chance he gets that. Zero.
For New York, you don't think he'd get it?
No, hell no. He'll get about 20-22. That's it.
Oh, Mas.
No.
Because he's also he's an elite defensive player.
He's an elite defensive player, but they don't get that for that. He's just not. First of all, he's unreliable because he's not healthy, and secondly, he's not that good a hitter.
This feels
he's a
like
good hitter. He's not a great hitter.
Yeah, this feels like one of his best years hitting a ball. He's got an 8.11 OPS.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I mean, to see that number. That's jarring. That just lets you know he's not Tatis. He's going to want big time.
He's not getting
New York
that.
Money. And the Astros can't pay that.
He's not getting 30 million. You know who gets 30 million probably every day is John Clay Wolf. He's here with us.
Wow, I need to get into that business.
Well, what? Yeah, I mean, well, he pays out 30 million every day probably.
Oh wow,
in
I'm
cars.
Out.
No, you don't want that business. You don't want that heat. But he does it better than everybody. There's no question about it. I was talking to Zane here. I'm working with Zane here. I'm working on trying to get. I got to go to the DMV and get my title, and it's a load of crap. I don't know. He said, I've never seen this before, but I've got to go do it. So, but I've sold my car to John Clay Wolf, and it couldn't have been an easier process. Actually, it's unbelievable how much he gave me. I ripped him off, to tell you the truth. But that's okay. I feel good about it, if you want to know the truth, John Clay Wolf.
What's wrong with your title? What'd you do?
Well, no, the credit company sent me the title, and I said that, and then Zane looks at it and he said, no, it's still got a lien on it. You got to go to the DMV. That's all I got to do is go to the DMV, and they give me another
one. That means that you've got bills to pay, Granato. That means your car's not paid off.
No, it's paid off. It's absolutely been paid off for 3 years.
So you say.
It's been paid off for 3 years.
Everybody says that.
No, but it definitely is. They just said you got to go to the DMV for whatever reason, which
you
is
need
stupid.
A lien release.
Yeah, lien release. That's right.
So did you call Mercedes Credit? Is that who y'all borrowed the money from?
No. A place called Member Source, and I don't know. Out of the trunk of a car. I borrowed it out of a trunk of a car. What do you want me to do? Okay?
Well, they just need to give you a lien release so that we have a clear title so that we can convert it. It's called a negotiable title.
Well, I know, but I don't care about your side. I just want my money. I told you that already. So I'm sure you deal with all kinds of stuff like this all the time, but that's okay. I had a key for him. I actually had a key that I gave Zane, and I'm going to actually try to get him a title. So we're working on that right now, John Clay Wolf. And it's an easy process, though. You were the easiest part of it. How about that?
Dead people is where it gets tricky. The good news is you're still alive.
That's right.
Think about this, that this was your parents, right?
Not for long if I don't get this money, okay? My wife says...
It's worth 50 grand, and there's you and two other, you know, siblings. So there's three people wanting this money, and we've got to try to get a lien release from some credit union on a deceased grandma. It gets tricky. But anyway, yeah. We buy cars at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
734 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. We haven't seen, you got some updates on NFL injuries. Have we heard of anybody at the Texans? I haven't.
No, it's actually been... Well, except Duke Ejiofor, and I was going in for physical therapy on my shoulder yesterday, and Duke was in there.
He was?
On his knee, yeah. Oh, bad for him. I mean, two straight years, it's going to be hard to make it in the NFL. Your first year, you come up basically at the end of the year and make some things happen, and then poof. The next year, you tear your ACL. I mean, ACL. When did ACL that got him last year? Or was it... Or was it a biceps or a? I think it was ACL that got him.
I can't keep up with his
injuries. Last year he was out for the year. This year he's out for the year. It makes it tough to make a team when you don't play football for two straight years.
Yeah, Astros and by the way, it was announced. We didn't even mention it. Astros got a doubleheader against the Angels today because of Laura.
Oh yeah, they got to double up, Laura. So for those of us listening, so in Galveston they have mandatory evacuations because there's a concern that. If it turns late, because it did move, I guess, west 50 miles, I guess. So if Laura turns late, Galveston would be in some trouble with storm surge because it's Category 3 hurricane. It's projected to be a Category 3 hurricane, Laura. And so I think they're having Galveston in those areas because of potential storm surge and the concern that if it makes a late move to the west, which is always possible, that they'll be in a lot of trouble. So... but we here in Harris County, different areas of Harris County, you may or may not even get rain according to the forecast right now, especially if you're in northwest Harris County. Or
go up to Carlton Woods and play?
I mean, if you want, it's going to be windy.
I don't care about wind. I mean, but I hate Carpath only. That's the only
Okay,
problem.
So we're going to break up this hurricane, this Category 3 hurricane update for some golf. For John's golf, see if he can maybe get some golf in on that day.
Well, if
you are so inconsiderate to people like Jackie who are down in Bolivar and who have
Jackie's
to leave their houses.
Jackie's got to evacuate.
Yeah.
Get out, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to... Oh, by the way, Del, I don't know that you're going to be able to drive up here on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I know.
So
do you want to stay? Thursday morning or Wednesday morning?
You can stay
morning.
At our house.
Thursday?
You can stay at our place.
No, I'm good.
He's got rooms.
I'm only 5 minutes. I'm literally 5 minutes from here.
Like,
I'm
literally, aware. The bed's made of gold.
I thought it's
gold.
It's gold trim.
Trimmed, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
You can do it. You can do it.
No, there's a home.
You want to say, listen, we'll put you two bedrooms away from me
you
and
know
Wendy.
What, you know what?
You have, you know, what black people don't like random white people inviting into their homes.
What? How are we gonna have? How are we gonna get anywhere as a people if you won't? If we can't share,
can't trust you. Can't
culturally,
trust you.
Yes, you can trust.
Can't trust y'all.
You can trust.
The start of a horror movie.
It's not part of a horror movie.
Yes,
this
is.
Isn't Get Out.
A storm. There's a giant storm. You've invited me into your home. Nah, I'm good. It's the start of a horror movie.
It does sound like
this is Rocky
something.
Horror Picture Show.
I will say, yeah, I know. It does sound like something like there's a giant storm. Okay, here's the pitch. All right. We have this black guy. He's kind of a loner. You know, he watches a lot of television.
He doesn't like
sports.
Hugs.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to take him and we're going to bring a hurricane and we're going to force him into – he's going to have a decision to make. There's a fork in the road where he's got to decide whether or not to go with this white couple. Now, they are empty nesters and everyone's out of the house and they want him to come in. It's a nice place. But he's got to make a decision. Now, typically he would say no, but this hurricane is – going to force him to really consider, and that's where we're going to start the movie. He's going to say yes, and that's where everything
honestly
going to start
this,
to go
that
crazy.
Movie could go one of two ways. It could be
not a slapstick comedy.
No, it could be a horror movie like I described, and I'll remove John and Wendy from the equation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a different white couple, and it turns into is this movie on Pornhub?
No, this is not a Falwell thing.
That's
why I removed
John. This is not the Jerry Falwell Jr. story.
I'm telling you that right now. I removed you from the equation.
That's one pitch, but that pitch is not being made.
I know.
Over here at Lionsgate. Okay, we're at Lionsgate. We don't do that.
That's why I took out the innocent in this example. I removed you from the equation.
Horror. And we're trying to do.
But in the John and Wendy instance, it's a horror movie that I don't want to be a part of. I don't know. When JT plays
you
sports.
Open the refrigerator door, and then when you close it, there's a jump scare.
Yeah, it's just
because
like,
Wendy's there. What are you doing, Del?
It's almost like Get Out because JT, instead of playing lacrosse like that kid in Get Out, plays football, and he's a little too intense for me. I'm not sure why he's so intense, but he is. You got a daughter just like just
you're like who's
other-
knocking on the door? Oh, don't worry about it.
What?
What do you mean? But it's on my bedroom door.
And you've got a daughter just like that couple did from that movie? No, I'm out. I'm good.
I see what you're saying.
This ain't Get Out, okay?
I don't know. You say that, and then we don't know what happens to me. All of a sudden, I'm a completely changed person.
So, okay, so you'd rather not show up for work?
Well,
that's what you want.
Well, you exhibited that last week.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You'd rather not show up for work. We had this discussion. I mean, you decided to do something else. You felt more important.
Well, so you think a hurricane is more important and you don't want to go to work, okay?
I think a hurricane...
I'm telling you, that's stupid because...
Well, there wasn't a hurricane and you decided not to come to work last week.
I know. Golf was more important.
See?
So I'm going to try to play during a hurricane, okay? I'm trying to figure out whether or not we're going to be able to go, okay, on Wednesday or Thursday.
It'll be Thursday, which will be the problem.
The answer's
going to
be no.
Yeah, Thursday probably going to be a problem.
So we're not getting any of Marco?
Marco's really, again, he's Falwell Jr. He's sitting there watching Laura in the corner. That's what he's doing. That's all Marco's doing. I hate to say about him.
I'm calling him Jerry from now on.
That's it. All right, Marco Cuck.
Oh, see, we had danced around that particular word segments.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that's what his name is. There's nothing we can do about it.
His name is, it's a hurricane.
Sean doesn't dance around anything.
Nope. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5, you are more than welcome. How about come in and let's talk some Rockets basketball? How much did that piss you off? Did that piss you off?
We
yesterday?
Were pretty pissed off.
I was pissed off.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed off at that one. Let's hear from some Rockets fans. 713 or basketball fans, even if you're not a Rock fan, you have thoughts. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. After winning the first game, the Portland Trailblazers have been no match for L.A. It just kind of woke L.A. up, I think. L.A., when it walked, they limped into the playoffs, then got smacked in game one, and it was either going to be this is Portland's series or it was going to be a wake-up call, and that was just
why was Portland a two-point favorite yesterday?
They were a two-point favorite.
Yes, yes. That was ridiculous.
Did it get out that somebody was sitting for the Lakers?
I don't know. But whatever the case may be,
they've been a 2-point favorite this series.
They got slapped. Slapped.
Sure, that wasn't like a halftime line.
No, that was they were 2-point favorite. If that was a halftime line, they would have been 4-point favorites for the game.
Yeah, I'm looking at least on Bet Now, they're 7.5-point dogs.
Yeah. Yesterday?
That's what it's been the whole time.
Maybe I'm
You must have seen a different team. I think the Heat were 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, because I said there's... what? I was just freaked out.
Maybe the Rock, because the Rockets have been around that number the whole time. The Lakers have been around 7.5 the whole time.
Yeah, the Heat were 6.5-point favorites, so maybe it's
Rockets game you're looking at.
Might have been. 7:42 ESPN 97.5. I want to talk right now about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford is they're just awesome. They got the EcoSport right now, and it's $199 a month. $199 a month. This is ridiculous, people. This is a great, great car to start. This is if you're economically, if you really worry about the economy and the ecology, well then all you this EcoSport is perfect for you because you got this is a car you can afford. It's wonderful, and you also are helping the environment. Here's another thing. If you're in a vehicle now that you're having a hard time paying for because of the COVID-19, if you have had any problems making your payments, this is the time to take advantage of 72 months, 84 months, 0% financing, of no payments for 6 months, of nothing down. They have these vehicles available right now in stock. And that's another thing. They're in stock. You can shop at home. You don't have to go in. They will deliver the car. If you need a car fixed, they will pick it up. They will fix it. They will sanitize it and bring it to your home. The service is second to none. You will love dealing with Chastang Ford. I'm serious. If you need a car right now, go to ChastangFord.com or they're on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome. Big shot.
Hold up, wait.
Peanut butter insets.
No.
Outside.
Go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, Eric Berger, the side guy.
Daniel Berger, who finished third last week at the Northern Trust.
No, this is going to be worse. This is posted at 6:40 a.m. Eric Berger, who I trust, science guy from Houston Chronicle for years and years, he's the one that posted this at Space City Weather. And this guy's good. He's always been really good. And it says, unfortunately, we don't have great news to report this morning. The overnight trends with Laura are not good, and everyone in the greater, and this is not a hype, this is not a hype guy. He said, everyone in the greater Houston, Galveston metro area needs to be making final preparations for potential hurricane landfall. After moving off Cuba overnight, the storm made a slight westward jog, and this has had the effect of nudging several model runs west. This is likely to bring the center of the storm closer to Houston, and this is not good. It now seems highly likely that Laura will make landfall somewhere between Freeport and southwestern Louisiana, with the most probable location between Galveston Bay and Texas-Louisiana borders. So that's even further west. On Wednesday night, shortly before midnight, or on early Thursday morning, this forecast is a worst-case scenario for the Beaumont area, and a mandatory evacuation order is in effect for Jefferson County. Situation is not much better for the Houston area. Please note the official forecast track shown below will be likely adjusted westward towards Houston at 10 a.m. So he's saying nationally you'll start to hear it's going to be not as good for really bad for Beaumont and everything west. Now the Laura is over the Gulf of Mexico and strengthening confidence in the tracks should increase later today. Further changes will certainly be possible. It's very important to really understand where this storm will go. Hurricanes have effects over a large area, but their strongest winds are generally clustered tightly around the core or to its northeast. And storm surge is significantly greater to the right of a landfalling center. For this reason, track really matters. And so he talks about the intensity. If you're looking for an analog for what to expect in Houston from Laura, probably the best recent storm is Hurricane Ike. Hurricane Ike did some damage too. Knocked out a lot of electricity for a while. Trees down, stuff like that. This storm made landfall on the east end of Galveston, September 8, 2008. That was the one that knocked our stuff off. Remember that?
Yep.
Because our transmitter is that way.
Yeah.
Towards Hurricane Path. Followed a track up the western side of Galveston Bay. It had maximum sustained winds of 110 miles an hour. So he said it's not a perfect comparison, as Laura probably would be more intense as it comes ashore and more damaging winds. And Ike was a larger storm, so it produced significantly more powerful storm surge. We'll probably see than with Laura. But the reason I want to show the graphic below is that very roughly, it provides a way to set expectations for Houston and Galveston. So once again, SpaceCityWeather.com is the website where Eric Berger is writing for them. Hype-free forecast for Greater Houston with Eric Berger and Matt Lanza, powered by Reliant. So,
did you just do a commercial for?
Well, I'm just that's
sounds
their,
like it.
That's their byline.
Hmm.
But I do like hype-free forecasts. I don't like people cheering for horrible, like, oh, well, tune back in. Just a quick tease. Listen, tease that absolute death and destruction could be coming to see if we can get them back here in 2 hours. Okay, I'll do that.
That's not what they do. What they do is try to bring you. Nah, that's what they do. 750 ESPN, 97.5. They're so disappointed. Oh, it turned. It's going to Beaumont.
Well, don't worry.
You know what?
Oh, my gosh, guys. Now we gotta great news. It turned back towards us.
Yeah.
We've got some amazing coverage. Maybe people in boats will be out there rescuing again. God, I hope not.
I hope not.
It's not good. Anyway, it's not like this hurricane's going away. I mean, it may end up hitting Beaumont area again, Port Arthur area again. They've been hit.
And she strengthened into a three?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With warm water. Yeah. When you have warmer, this is what happens. When you have warmer temperature, warmer water, every hurricane is going to
intensify. Do you think, have we had a lot of kids named Harvey since?
Probably
do we
not.
Know? Because.
Any way to.
How many kids were conceived because you couldn't go out?
I don't know. I think so.
9 months after Harvey, was there a big. Influx of children.
That is pretty stressful. And I think pandemic, maybe you'll have some.
A lot of people don't
babies.
Care about that stuff, Lance. They're just gonna do stuff. Maybe. Might as well. We got time. And there's no TV on.
That's pretty bad. A lot of people lost houses. I don't know about that one.
Well,
the Harvey one was.
Harvey was terrible.
Pretty terrible.
I wonder if there's gonna be a lot of Lauras coming our way. We'll see.
Well, maybe we won't be on the radio on Thursday.
I don't think we'll have a producer because he won't stay at my house.
Nah, I'll take known natural disaster over potential horror movie every day of the week.
You will not be able to come in. You're right in the vortex there, aren't you? With all that water around you?
Well, for whatever reason, you mentioned Harvey. My neighborhood did not flood at all. Meanwhile, a neighborhood a block, two blocks away did flood. So I'm not sure what our issue. Why? I guess I'm not on the flood area. So, and there's a bayou right behind us and still didn't have any problems with just the water.
Has your house ever flooded with any of the rains?
No.
No? Wow, that's wild. That's great. You got a bayou right behind you?
Yes.
Huh. That's what you, Meyerland, can't say the same thing.
I know.
Meyerland's going, what the bleep, another.
No, but this one's
Meyerland,
not supposed
if
to
it
stall.
Drizzles, they.
This is not supposed to stall. This is a faster moving, it has been, but everything they've said up to this point is this one is not supposed to stall over us, but the wind is going to be a much bigger problem.
No, you'll be able to feel it pretty good up in my place, though. We're way up there.
I don't. That's not an inducement. To
come on,
show up.
I just won't be able to use the grill out there. Let's go.
It's a
come
shame.
On. Well, then we'll. I don't know. We'll grill cheese on the stove.
But you're going to have that trash cheese. I'm not looking for that.
No, I got great cheese. No, I just bought some great Swiss yesterday.
That's an upgrade from your craft singles.
Yeah. No. 753 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, let's talk about our Rockets. Let's talk about our Astros. Anything. There is an interesting. Have you seen this? Because this has been unbelievable. Andre Scrub. Have you seen his numbers? Have you taken a look at Andre Scrub's numbers?
Not really.
They're virtually unbelievable because he's got a zero ERA, and yet His whip is 1.54.
Oh, he's at no point has Andre Scrub felt like a really good pitcher to me watching him.
You keep
referencing his zero, and I'm like, this guy's giving up other people's runs, though. He's letting people on base. People are having to pull him out of the fire.
Dude, okay? 11 2/3 innings. He's only allowed 6 hits. But so far, he has walked 12 and struck out 12.
Yeah.
He's got a 9.26 walk rate per 9 innings.
He's begging to get destroyed.
Now, listen, historically, this is like unbelievable what he's doing. But in 23 high-leverage plate appearances, hitters have gone 1-for-16 with 6 strikeouts and 6 bases on balls. Is that unbelievable?
That's pretty wild. It's pretty wild it hasn't caught up with him, that he didn't have a 6 ERA because he had a 5-run.
No, he's still got a 0. Yeah. He's only thrown, look, get this, less than 40% of his pitches for strikes.
What?
Yes.
How's that
he's
possible?
He's been down in the count 53% of the time.
At some point, at some point now, the book is going to be out on him, and it's going to be a whole lot of taking, right? It's going to be a whole lot of work to count.
But how about this? His hard hit rate percentage? 8. Major league average, 34.
That's really good, yeah.
And he's given up at least...
It's kind of hard to hit him hard when he's constantly not throwing strikes, apparently.
With runners in scoring position, they're hitting 143 against him. And only given up... He's had 10 inherited runners, and only 2 have scored. These are unbelievable numbers, people. This guy should have an ERA of about 5 or 6. You don't have a 1.53 whip, which is walks and hits per inning. You just don't have that. And have a 0 ERA. He has been great when the pressure has been at its worst. He's been great.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't overstate him.
No, when he puts guys on, and then he gets guys out.
Yeah, but
a 1.43.
It's going to come back to get you.
A 1.43 average with runners in scoring position is pretty damn good.
I mean, it's still a very small sample size.
Yeah. I mean, he's only pitched 11 2/3.
You can't survive in a league with a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. No, it's not. That's not even survivable in the league. At some point, you're going to get annihilated. You got to get that fixed. By the way, I'm looking at this and like, so Jamie asks, any chance we see Russ for the rest of the series? Did you guys see him working out the video they had? That looked like a guy who's ready to come back and play basketball to me.
Yes,
they had him working out hard, and
Shaq and Kenny had this discussion after. And Chuck was of the opinion that, no, you don't just come back. You can do drills, but it ain't the same as running up and down the court, hitting guys, guarding guys, but pushing off, doing all those things. You can do all those drills. A quad is a beast, and not sure he's coming back.
Chuck had quad here in Houston. That's a quad is a beast. Yeah, it is, but Chuck, stop comparing your quad injury in your 30s to Russell Westbrook. It's not.
He's in his 30s, too.
Yeah, but here's the difference, though. Russell Westbrook has to rely a lot more on his athleticism than Charles does.
I mean, he's been out now. Russell Westbrook.
What did you just do?
Just popped my neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you hear it on the air?
I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
No.
It went, like, what the hell?
Yeah, just popped my neck.
Wow.
No big deal.
Do you think that's that?
Yeah, it's.
At some point,
it helps.
You could paralyze yourself doing that?
Nah. Won't let somebody else do it, but
I can do it. Wow.
But Russell's been out for how long now? 10 days? No, probably closer to about 8 days, I think.
Listen, quads are tough to come back from. We'll see. I think he's got to come back.
He looked good in the limited time we saw yesterday.
So if he does come back, is there still the excuse about Russ, or if now it's a 3-game series?
I honestly, like I said, there is no excuse about Russ. I'm not giving him. I'm giving no.
Well, to that nonsense. Well, but they if, played, if you're going to make an argument ass. For D'Antoni, if you're going to make
They're
an argument for Daryl,
big...
if you're going to make an argument for James, well, we didn't have Russ.
No, they don't get arguments for no. That no, they didn't execute. They didn't execute. It's that simple. This team is better than Oklahoma City. They have outplayed them. In many instances, and then given away, they had big leads and gave leads away. No, you don't get when you decide that you're going to pull up from 29 and 20 and 30 feet, when you're going to take shots from there, when you're going to settle for bad shots, that doesn't, you don't get a Russ, you don't get a built-in Russ argument against Oklahoma City, who frankly is just a team. I mean, there's nothing special about them at all.
I think
there's
the Rockets are just a team.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest about it.
They're
all just, from three down, they're all just teams. And even the Clippers, apparently, I guess when they're playing Luka, they're just a team too. But from three to eight, okay.
Luka beat the Clippers without Porzingis.
If you want to make the Russ,
that's a big loss.
When people make the Russ argument, it's going to tick me off, and I'll tell you why. Because I can already see people dialing up their arguments. You're right. Like, what can we say to protect Rockets and James? Russ, obviously.
Right.
If Russ was here, we'd have Russ, and then Russ.
Well, that's the Chris Paul argument.
And yet, at any point, does it feel like this team, they're just overwhelmed talent wise by Oklahoma City's talent? No. You felt that with Golden State. When you didn't have Chris Paul, you had Klay Thompson, Draymond, you had
Steph.
You didn't have
Kevin Durant was up.
But you had Klay, and Draymond.
Kevin Durant got hurt.
And Iguodala. No.
2 years ago.
Last year, not 2 years ago. You clearly had an overwhelming amount of talent against you. Oklahoma City? No. You're not overwhelmed by talent. In fact, you won the first two games.
Schroeder, not talented? Okay, thanks.
James and Eric Gordon played atrocious in game two, and they smacked. And they smacked Oklahoma City. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about Russ. I'm glad that you
came. I hope that you scrape it. Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.